Welcome to Solid Rock Community Church's Sermon Podcast. We are glad you are joining us today to listen to God's Word. Please open your Bibles and follow along with today's message.
But today I believe I need to go back to Matthew for a while, and I want to start teaching in chapter 8. That's where we're going to start today. And within this, in chapter 8, chapter 9, there is proof after proof after proof that the Lord Jesus has authority over various kingdoms. The kingdom of health, the kingdom of angels and demons, various kingdoms. And I'll be teaching on those things several times here. But I want to share with you just a little bit of what maybe spurred me that direction. Last week, I had the opportunity to pray over someone and anoint with oil at the end of the service and pray for healing. During the week, very similarly, not exactly the same by any means, but I got a phone call from my nephew, an email from my nephew, Joel, back in Kansas City. I did the wedding for he and Katie. She loves the Lord. He loves the Lord. They have godly kids. They're faithful at church. He's a police officer. She was diagnosed with cancer. That happens to lots and lots of people. It's shocking. It's scary. It's that word can induce fear, and God is not a God of fear. But between those two situations of interceding and praying for healings, I would ask myself, because I believe I have to be honest before the Lord, do I believe those people are going to be healed? Do I believe that? Do I have the faith for that? And really, that's what started me back on this journey, back this direction. So I want you to ask yourself that today too. But let's read Matthew 8, 1-4. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him, and a leper came to him, bowed down before him, and said, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand, touched him, saying, "I am willing. Be cleansed." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one, but go show yourself to the priests and present the offering that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." Now, I really had fun researching what that command was, what the offering was. I've touched on this before. There's certainly several places where Jesus healed leprosy. I've talked about them coming and asking before. Much of this is going to be repeat to you. But when we look back through the Old Testament, we find that the law of Moses declares that when a person who has leprosy, if they have it, they have to declare themselves. They are declared by the priest, and then they must declare anywhere they go, "I am unclean. I am unclean," ceremonially. "I am unclean. Don't touch me. I'm a leper." Now, I don't know if you can imagine what life would be like walking around from place to place to place in a culture where everybody would scream or get out of your way or not want to. And you didn't touch anybody. Nobody hugged you. Nobody kissed you. Nobody was around you. The only other people you could fellowship with are the lepers. And it would just be a horrible, horrible type of thing to face emotionally, let alone physically. Leprosy literally eats away the nerves that you have, and you can't feel in that area, and then it gets infected or something happens, and it just it destroys. You don't know that you're hurting. Anyway, the Jews were never supposed to consume something unclean, right? They weren't supposed to eat certain foods that were declared unclean. They still, many of them don't do that. Most of them don't do that to this day. They don't have sausage or Canadian bacon or that kind of a pizza at Pizza Hut over in Israel. I can guarantee you that. That's not on their pizzas over there. They don't eat pork. It's unclean. They were not supposed to eat something unclean. They were not supposed to associate with something unclean or even touch something unclean. But it is interesting that in Leviticus 14, and you can look this up if you want to, just telling you where it's found. Leviticus 14, you can read about what is supposed to happen if a healing takes place and a leper is to be declared healed or cleansed again. And that's what Jesus is referring to in this verse here. A leper gets cleansed and he has to go through a certain ritual. It's rather a long and arduous ritual. I thought about teaching out of Leviticus 14. The parallels are incredible, and I'll get to that in just a second. But it involves starting with getting two birds, assume they are pigeons or doves, and you have to have water from a running water source, a spring of water. It has to be clear spring water. And then the dipping of one of the birds, you kill one of the birds, you take the other one, and you dip his tail feathers in the blood of the first one, and then you eventually release him, and he flies away. Now, that's just the beginning. There's a whole lot more than just that. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, you're just a scapegoat, you're the one that got blamed? You know what I'm talking about? Y'all know that's a biblical, historical thing, that literally the priest would pray over one of the goats, impart the sin into it, and then release it into the wilderness. That was the scapegoat. It became it carried the sins, if you will. And the parallels are kind of incredible. And this is kind of a scape bird, if you will, for leprosy. And I want you to understand that. This ceremony also talks about the shaving off of all your body hairs. You shaved your head completely, and I suppose if the guy had a hairy chest, he shaved that completely. They had to wait for a week or so, and then they had to present larger and bigger sacrifices, a ram or a lamb, that type of a thing. And the priest would take that blood from that lamb and he would put it on the earlobe, on the right earlobe and the right thumb and the right big toe of the leper. And, I mean, it's just quite a ceremony. And it goes on and on and on. And you can read about all of that in Leviticus 14. But it all has a depth of meaning that is just wonderful. And if I could just share with you, I've said this over and over and over again. I don't think we do justice to studying the Word of God, because everything in the Word of God, everything has meaning and purpose. There's a reason why some of those weird, strange little verses are in there, or why we, you know, you read about the tabernacle out in the wilderness and how they built it, and they had, you know, the walls were made of this kind of skin, and this was gold, and this was silver, and this is how they set it up, and this was supposed to be cedar wood, and they had to make this and this and this. Every single one of those has parallels to Jesus Christ. Every one of them. And we need to, I have to learn from other people. We have to study those things. It's amazing. Well, in this ceremony for cleansing, not cleansing of, being declared cleansed of leprosy, there's some wonderful, wonderful spiritual meanings. And I'm not going to teach it today. I decided the Lord didn't lead me that way. But I do want to share just a little bit with you. We learned from Leviticus 13, the previous chapter from this ceremony, that leprosy was literally a parallel to sin. That those two could almost be interchangeable. And I just want to say to you, when we're in our sin, we're unclean. Amen? And almost walk around and declare ourselves unclean. It's a direct parallel to sin. And the Jews had no means of healing leprosy. They couldn't do it. And we do have that means today, but it's still very prominent in South America, in Africa, in Asia, various parts of the world where they don't have that means to them yet. There is still leprosy. But we understand that they couldn't cleanse it. They couldn't get rid of leprosy. And they couldn't prevent it other than avoiding it. By the way, you can't prevent sin from showing up in your life other than maybe avoiding certain temptations that come into your life. So only God can remove sin, and only God can heal leprosy. And that's some of the parallels. But even more than that, the Jewish people were given the law, and it wasn't given them to them to make them holy and sinless. The law doesn't make you sinless. It points to the fact that you can't keep the law. Do you realize that? They were given the law to prove that they can't keep the law. But somehow they think that by keeping the law, they can be holy. The Jews still teach that even today. And I'm going to say to you, until they understand that Jesus did it once for all, they have to atone for their sins even to this day. Throughout their lives, if they sin, they have to make some kind of sacrifice for it. And thus, this ceremony for leprosy was not for healing. As I said, it was for declaring that the person was cleansed by God. But in some of the fabulous parallels to Jesus, this ceremony included the shedding of blood. Already talked about that. Jesus shed his blood. And then releasing into freedom that second bird, we get released into freedom. Did you know that the first bird that was sacrificed had to be tied to a wooden plank? That's kind of interesting that Jesus had to be nailed to a wooden cross. That he had to be tied with a certain kind of string that was crimson in color. Had to be red crimson string that tied him down. Man, the parallels are just incredible. And notice the killing of one so that the other one might live, being fixed to a piece of wood. Already mentioned that. The crimson binding. The clear water is like streams of living water that washes us and cleanses us. The leper stepping from freedom into probably the single most cause of rejection, going from the rejection in all of society into total cleansing and total freedom. Just, I'm kind of stammering along here. Anyway, it's an awesome study, and I would encourage you to do that sometime, and maybe I will teach on that sometime. But never forget that every single thing written in God's Word has meaning and fulfillment. That's mostly what I want you to get out of that little part of this today. But interestingly, the leprous ceremony was virtually never used. It was never done until Jesus shows up. Now, because it was written in the law, and like I said, you can look this up, Leviticus 14, there's no doubt that the priests were taught what to do if a person is healed of leprosy and they come to you and said, I used to have leprosy, I don't have it anymore. And they would say, well, you need to sacrifice these birds, we're going to have to do it a special way, then you have to sacrifice a lamb, then you have to do this, and then you have to, I need to put blood on you and all that kind of stuff. All of that, they understood. They were taught that. But it is not recorded anywhere in Scripture, and it's not even anywhere in secular history that I could find that any priest ever went through that ceremony and did it over somebody. Nowhere. Didn't happen. Now, Naaman, if you look in the Old Testament, was healed of leprosy by dipping in the Jordan River 7 times. But he lived in a foreign land and he wasn't a Jew. So he didn't report to the priests and say, I need to go through this ceremony. Miriam, Moses' sister, got leprosy. And she was healed from the leprosy. She had to live outside the camp for a week because of that, because she was unclean for a while. But she was healed of it. But that all happened before the Levitical priests were even come into existence. There was no such thing as Levitical priests. They hadn't been trained yet. And Aaron's staff had not miraculously budded yet. I love that story. So she didn't have to go through that ritual. Nobody in Scripture had to go through this ritual until Jesus shows up. So this might be, right here, in Matthew chapter 8, might be the very first time that any priest actually had to investigate the story and find out how was this man healed. And of course, he was healed by Jesus, showing the Lord's authority over a disease that had virtually never before been cured within the Jewish community. What an incredible thing. Jesus has authority over leprosy. Jesus has authority over cancer. Jesus has authority over all realms of anything in the existence on planet Earth. He is Lord of it all. Now, I love the fact that this leper came to Jesus and he said, "Lord, if you are willing," you can see that in verse 2. "If you're willing, you can make me clean." Saints, it's my belief that every one of us need to have that kind of a heart attitude. We need to come before the Lord that way. First of all, for our sins. "Lord, I'm not worthy. But if you're willing, you can forgive me of my sins." And only He can cleanse us of our sins. That's true. But also in the realm of healing, I think we need to come before Him and we need to approach it in this way. In fact, I would suggest before we ask for healing, it's just so natural in America for some reason. They've proven, I don't know how many people know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in America, but I know it's not 80% of Americans. But I can tell you that 80% of Americans pray regularly to God, and most of the time it's for healings. We ask God we always ask God to do something for us. And that's not so much a bad thing. I'm not trying to make that bad. I'm just saying before we ask God to do His healing, let's ask Him to see what His will is first. "Lord, what's your will in this situation? How do you even want me to pray?" Would you agree that Jesus healed all kinds of bizarre ways? I already talked about Naaman dipping 7 times. One guy had to go and wash himself in a pool. Some guys were healed on the process on the way. Sometimes Jesus didn't even show up. One person had to touch the hem of His garment. One person had to have mud put on his eyes, blind. He put spit inside a guy's, gave a guy a wet willy, inside of his ear. And he was healed. I mean, it's just amazing all the different ways. So we have to be careful saying, what is your will in this situation? And once He tells you what His will is, then you begin to pray that desire, okay? Now, as I have said before, you've heard me say this over and over again, I freely tell you that there are a variety of issues within Christianity that your pastor still struggles to understand. I am a man, and my brain is limited. And there are just some things I kind of go, "God, I don't get that one. It doesn't make sense to me." And I'm here to tell you today, healing leads the pack. Healing frustrates me sometimes, or lack of healing, maybe I should say. Why are some healed and others not? And I've asked that before. I've preached a similar message before. Now, I want to tell you, I've heard, I think, almost all the teachings out there, teaching after teaching, about just having enough faith. And they would teach, if you just have enough faith, you will be healed. Well, frankly, that message guilts the dickens out of me. I'd really struggle with that message. But I want to learn if it's truth. So, those people... I've had pastors, I've had evangelists, I've heard it from prophetic leaders, I've had laity people alike all show me various verses that they use to prove that God wants to heal everything. And I've studied those verses very closely. There are a bunch of them. I've examined them in their context, which is important to do. Plus, I've tried to look it up. I have the availability to do that in my library and on computer. And I tried to look it up in Hebrew and in Greek and find out what those words mean. And I will tell you, sometimes I come to a different conclusion than some of those people. They'll make some statement absolutely, and I kind of look it up and go, yeah, I think you missed it, brother. And I come to a different conclusion sometimes about those healing verses. But I will say this. Overall, I would say that Jesus wants to heal way more often than what I might think he does. And I want everybody here to hear that. I think Jesus wants to heal most of the time. They have a lot of truth around some of the things that they're saying. I have prayed for my faith to grow. Man, I tell God, I don't know if I have faith for that. And would you please increase my faith? I have asked for the gift of healing. I got to lay on hands and pray over somebody and see them be healed. Wouldn't that be cool? And should he want me to have that gifting? And I've asked, frankly, I've prayed for other people in the church to function in it powerfully. I interceded for that. I desire to see miracles come to pass as often as possible. I want some of us. I want you to be absolutely shocked and surprised because God does something supernaturally and powerful. I want us all just kind of go, wow! Because that's fun, all right? And I have repeatedly told Jesus with all truth from my heart, you don't have to wrestle with it because you're not a pastor. The elders might have to wrestle with it because the Word of God says, if any among you are sick, let him call for the elders of the church to anoint with oil, and the prayer offered in faith will restore that one. And I'm an elder. Do I even believe that my prayer is offered in faith? So I have to wrestle with it. And I have told God, you know what, God, if I am the cause of somebody not getting healed because of my lack of faith, then please change me. Please teach me. Please show me. Please help me to overcome my weakness, increase my faith, Lord. Or, if I'm that hindrance, remove me from being pastor. I don't want to be the cause of them not being healed. Now, saints, I know Jesus heals. Amen? I know he heals. I don't doubt that for a second. I know that he heals in a wide array of ways. I already mentioned that. And that includes the medical field. Do not think because you were healed by a surgery or healed by a medicine that that isn't God involved in answering your prayers. All right? We've got to understand that. All right? You dare not limit Jesus Christ as to how he gets to heal you. So that includes the medical field in healing. And I rejoice with anybody and everybody that gets healed. Healing is the number one thing I end up praying for as I intercede for others, just numerically. That is the number one prayer request. I ask God to heal people over and over and over and over again. Every week we have people call in and say, could you put up this so-and-so on the prayer list, so-and-so on the prayer list. And that happens. Chris, do you mind coming up and giving testimony? And guys, let's turn that microphone on back again. This happened this week. We shared it a little bit with some of the men, but just want you to hear about Chris's son for just a second.
My son Casey he's got a business. He's in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, does home energy audits. And anyway, starting about Wednesday, he cut his hand on a piece of steel. The blood coagulated fine. By Thursday night, he was in the hospital with a platelet count of 1,000, which means just about zero. And the Lord just, Muriel and I knew it was a spiritual battle, and we went into prayer and got other people involved, and the more time went on, the more people we got involved, and his church came alongside of him, and he wasn't feeling bad, never did feel bad. But they figured out it was a viral infection that had somehow attacked that portion of his body and gave him some steroids and some other stuff because they don't really have any way to treat viruses. And anyway, platelet infusions and got his count coming up. And then we heard by yesterday they had it up to 15,000. Which is a long way from zero, but normal is 150,000. So I told Muriel, and we had sensed a breakthrough in our spirit that, you know, there was victory there. And And I prayed with him several times over the phone, and he was dealing, of course, with fear. He's got three kids and a business and wife, and, you know. So he got victory over that. So yesterday, about, what was it, 4 o'clock or so, hon, I said, Muriel, I said, we just need to give God thanks. And that was $15,000. So we prayed, thanking God, and literally, no exaggeration, I said, amen, and my phone went ding. And I looked at my phone, it was $30,000. So now from yesterday evening, they did not give him any more platelets. This morning, $33,000. So that means he produced some on his own. So we just praise God for the body coming alongside us in prayer. Thank God for his healing power. Thank God for Satan being defeated on the cross. Amen. And all glory to Jesus.
Amen.
And he was near to death. Had he been cut, he couldn't stop bleeding. I mean, this was serious stuff. So I've seen many miracles of healings. I really have. I've seen a lot of them. I've seen it several times within my own household. And by saying that, when I talk about miracles of healing, I will include those that came because of medical field. But specifically, I am talking about the supernatural kind, the instantaneous kind, or the kind that come very, very quickly within a few hours or something like that. I've seen that happen. I've watched that happen. And they were supernatural. And the problem is, I'm a pastor, and I end up dealing with not just one or two or three people every year who have some kind of sickness, a child here or a dad there. I deal with hundreds and hundreds of people who are sick. That's part of the nature of the ministry that I am in. And my problem is, although I see healings in many different ways, I do not see it every single time. And supernaturally, that instantaneous kind, I don't hardly ever see that. I see it occasionally, but not very much. Now, there could be many, many, many reasons for this. It could be sin. You know, sin separates us from God. You know, sin can keep us, God, from even hearing our prayers. Word God says that. It could be sin. It could be doubt. It could be lack of persistence. There are some prayers you have to pray them through. You have to keep praying until that breakthrough happens. That's not necessarily every time, but in many of them it is. And so it could be better understanding God's will. We have to grab a hold of what are you trying to do in this situation. So I have come to the conclusion after all of that examination that it's not always, although many times it may be lack of faith, for those who state, well, if you just had enough faith, it would happen. I don't agree with that. It troubles me. It's not always just because of lack of faith. I think sometimes we don't get healed because we tell God what he must do. And we hold on to what we want rather than ask him for what he wants or even how or when he wants to do it. Did you know you don't have the right to tell God what he must do? Be real careful with that. I don't see that Randy is omniscient and omnipresent and omnipotent. I see that God is. Now, saints, there is not a sickness out there that Jesus doesn't have authority. Not one. And I know that as truth. But I also know that sometimes we presume upon him to believe that if we ask, it'll be his will every single time to do it. And I'm going to warn you, when you presume upon God, it can destroy your faith. I've watched it happen. I've testified to that before. I'm going to use this phrase, some of you may not like it, but when you name it and claim it, when you say, this is going to happen because I claimed it according to this verse and God has to do it, all I'm saying is be very, very careful Because if it doesn't happen, you walk in guilt later and you increase in doubt. And you begin to say, well, must have been something wrong with me. I must not have had enough faith. And you begin to, and the enemy will just rip you apart. And you struggle with healings the next time and the next time and the next time. But how do you walk in faith if you don't do that? That's what I'm wrestling with. Now, when I admit this, when I share and just am open with people like I am right now and saying, man, I don't even know this one. A few people almost always get mad at me. They want to debate me. They believe that I'm preaching doubt and not faith to the body. Now, personally, I believe I'm preaching, hey, be honest and truthful with God. All right, that's what I think I'm preaching. But anyway, they hear it differently. But I almost always, after I share something like this, have people who want to tell me about the parallel of salvation to healing. And they talk to me as if I've never thought about this before. They say, you know, you need faith for salvation. You need to stand upon the scriptures and simply believe what he tells you there in the scriptures in order to be saved. Then you can presume that God will indeed wash you from your sins and put his Holy Spirit inside of you. And they say, thus, that kind of presumption is not wrong. So, Randy, why are you saying that to believe and presume upon God for healing is wrong? And not what I said, by the way, but they said that's called the faith to believe. And I say back to them, when they tell me that, and I've heard that many, many times, I say back to them, okay, look, I understand Romans 12:3. In Romans 12:3, it basically says, it tells us everyone has been allotted a measure of faith, right? Everybody's been given enough faith to accept Christ. It's there if you want to walk in it. All right, God has given us that measure. That's enough for salvation. But here's my problem, and I'm still talking to them. Here's the problem. In every situation I have prayed with for someone for salvation, it has happened. Every one of them. I've never known anyone to ask Jesus to be their Lord and Savior and be forgiven of their sins if they were being honest. I'll put that in there. If they were being real with God, that wasn't saved. I've never known anyone. That happens every single time. That's not so with healing. Not so. I've prayed for way too many people begging God. Oh, interceding in tears, fasting. I have done that and crying out for something miraculous in the realm of healing. And either they haven't been healed or they've died. And it messes with my head in the realm of faith. So, if you're saying to me that if I just had a little more faith, every person would be healed, I'd say back to you, wait a minute, I'm not completely sure of that yet. I want to ask those people, I'll just be honest with you. I want to ask those people, do you have the faith that you're talking about to me? Do you have that kind of faith? In other words, does every single person you pray for get healed? Because I got a few people I want you to pray for if that's true. I got a few people I want you to go lay hands on if that's true. You know what their response is? Almost always back to me. Oh, my faith is fine. I believe. But if they don't receive it and their faith isn't right, then it's not going to happen. Now, that's what they say back to me. I've heard that. I bet I've heard that 15 times. Then if they don't believe, it doesn't matter what I believe. And I understand that maybe a little bit, but I want to ask them a question. Well, by the way, next week, Jesus is going to come into Peter's house, and his mother-in-law is going to be sick with a fever. It never says once, and she asked him to heal her. It never says once that she had the faith to believe. All it said was Jesus said, walked over, laid hands on her, she was healed, she got up and started serving him. Huh, that's interesting. She didn't even ask. And Jesus did it. So it wasn't her faith that did it. What about Peter and John who healed a paralyzed man from birth? They're going into the temple. It's the hour of prayer. He's been there since birth. well, since he could go there. He was lame since birth. And he didn't even ask them to heal him. He didn't say, would you heal me in the name of Jesus? He didn't say anything like that. He didn't have any faith. He was asking for money. He was saying, give me some money. He was begging. And they look at him. And he thinks, oh, good, they're going to give me some money. And they turn to him and say, we don't have any silver and gold. What we have, in the name of Jesus, rise up and be healed. Whose faith was that? And I asked these people those things. Now, it was faith. Faith was involved, no doubt about it. Peter and John say later, in the name of Jesus, it was faith in that name that healed him. But it was faith from someone else. So I go back to those people and I say, do you have the faith that somebody's going to be healed every single time? And the answer is, if we're honest, probably not. Probably not. I believe in being honest with the Lord. So, Lord, would you increase the faith of this pastor and this body of believers? Increase our faith, Lord, and teach us in this area that we might better understand and be like your disciples who were able to grow in it and practice it and see miracles. Amen. But one thing I do know, I can tell you this with absolute assurance. When Jesus declared it, people were healed. When he said it, it got done. He had the faith. He believed. Okay, so let me get back to this section of scripture. The leper asked Jesus if he was willing, and in this case, Jesus gloriously said, you bet. Yeah, I'm very willing to heal. Yes. Oh, what a wonderful promise. Ask the Lord. And if he says yes, you got it. Going to happen. And then our Lord did an incredible thing. I just love this. I love this. I love this. He touched him. He reached out and touched a leper. Now, you're not supposed to touch a leper. Already taught you that. Jesus thus became unclean according to the law so that a leper could be clean. It's the two birds that were sacrificed. So one could get set free. The other one had to die. Had to happen to Jesus. And folks, that leper was cured at once. Jesus became unclean for his sickness. Not Jesus's, his, but the leper's sickness. But see, Jesus wasn't finished with him, as you can see from the scripture up there. He then said, I want you to go through this ceremony with the priest. Very elaborate ceremony. It's going to take you about 10 days. And I want you to go through it with the priest as a testimony to them. Do you see that right at the bottom of that scripture up there? As a testimony to them. They've never seen this happen before. They haven't ever gone through this ceremony before. And I want them to know that the Messiah has come. He's in our midst. I want them to understand that. So you go and you go testify to those priests. You go through this ceremony first. That's not what's going to heal you. You're already healed. But it is a testimony to them. Because you see, one of the first things that those priests are going to do. Let me ask you this. Never has happened before. You're a priest. You've been taught this is what you're supposed to do. But some dude comes to you and says, I was healed of leprosy. What's going to be your first question to him? Prove it. Yeah, I'm going to research this. I don't believe you ever had leprosy. Never heard of that before. And so I think these guys are going to go with great doubt. I think they're going to go find out if he was a leper in the first place. I think they're going to go to his brothers and his sisters and his mom and his dad or whatever. And they're going to say, how were you healed? You know what he's going to say? By the power of Jesus Christ. That's the answer, saints. By the power of Jesus. Then without question, they would look into the matter. And they would research it, and they would find out it was true. He was a leper, and a miracle happened. Then they have to do business with Jesus. Now the priests have to decide, what do I believe? Am I going to receive what Jesus that Jesus is the Messiah and what he can do. Now, we find out from the Gospel of Mark. It doesn't tell us this in Matthew, but it tells a similar story in the book of Mark, that this leper did not keep his mouth shut as commanded. Jesus said, if you look up there in verse 4, and he said, see that you tell no one, go show yourself a priest. That was his command. Now, how many of you know if Jesus commands you to do something, you probably better do that? And I think I read that 30 times before, not recently, but over the years, before I finally, it hit me, oh, he disobeyed Jesus, didn't he? Because I just felt sorry for the guy, and I thought, I'd probably tell everybody if I was healed like that. I'd instantaneously want to tell everybody. But he had a command from the Lord, do not speak to anyone. Don't you tell anyone. Go show yourself to the priest. And so when we read about it in Mark, it says he didn't do that right away. He told everybody. That happened to more than once to people who were healed by Jesus. He commanded them to be silent and they weren't. But there are strong consequences for disobeying what the Lord tells us to do. And if we openly defy his commands, there's going to be some pretty strong consequences. And we don't get to determine what the consequences are. Now, I have to believe that this disobedience had the potential, and probably did, cause great harm, not just to the leper. I don't think he was unclean all of a sudden again. But I think it caused great harm to Jesus' ministry. Because now, this guy's been telling everybody, now upon hearing about a miracle that they had never seen happen before, people everywhere will come to see the miracles. Kind of a fancy dog and pony show, if you will. Now, that's not totally a bad thing, because maybe they get to hear the Word of God preached to them. And I don't mind people coming, but if their heart is, I want to see somebody get healed, I'm not going to believe until then. If that's their heart, then they're coming for all the wrong reasons. But even more now, very likely, people would only come to be healed, not to hear the number one thing Jesus came to earth to do, share his living words of eternal truth about being saved, about being born again, about being forgiven, and about being washed. That was the number one reason why he came. And if they're coming only to watch the healings or to get healed, then it's just going to consume all of his time. And focusing on healing, they came by the thousands, didn't they? Thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And they were all bringing, they all had family members who were sick or lame or blind or deaf or something. Demon-possessed. And Jesus and his followers would just be overwhelmed sometimes. We read that in Scripture. They didn't even have time to eat sometimes because there were so many people around. But in fairness, I think that it would have been one of the hardest things in the world to do to keep silent about that. I mean, I'm a talker, folks. I got to tell stories, you know. And if something really cool happened, I got to tell somebody. You know, I'd have a hard time. Because it was awesome. It was glorious. It was a wonderful thing that happened. Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Now, I don't think he was saying, don't tell them. I think he was saying, don't tell them until after you show yourself to the priest. Then you can tell anybody you want to. All right? But do the right thing first. And he didn't go in that order, and I think it caused problems. A rejected and unclean leper was healed, however. At any rate, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is over the worst. He has authority over the worst disease that you can imagine. If you are sitting here today and you have some kind of sickness, or you know someone with some kind of sickness, Jesus has authority over that. All right? Now, let's go to another healing. This is as far as we will go today, but let's go to Matthew 8, 5 through 13. I mean, we just switched from the leper to another guy. So let's read that. And when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, imploring him and saying, Lord, my servant's lying paralyzed at home, fearfully tormented. In essence, he was saying, would you come and heal him? Jesus said to him, he's asking that question again. Yeah, I'll come heal him. I will come and heal him. But Oh, I like this. The centurion said, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority with soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And the other one, come, and he comes. And they do. And you can say it to my slave, do this, and he does it. I could say that. Now, when Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to those who were following, truly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith with anyone in Israel. I say to you that many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Oh, it's a great promise to us saints. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said to the centurion, go. It shall be done for you as you have believed. Interesting step of faith. And the servant was healed at that very moment. Glory to God. Well, once again, there was an asking of sorts, not a demand. Hey, you got to come and heal my servant because you're Jesus Christ and I know that's what you're going to do. He didn't demand, he asked. And Jesus responded, okay, yes, I will come and heal him. But then comes this incredible part that I just love. This isn't a Jew. This is a Roman centurion. He's in charge of 100 hardened Roman soldiers. But he comes in incredible humility, not pride. And he says, you know what? I'm not even worthy for you to come under my roof. I love that response. Saints, this pastor is not worthy of Jesus to do anything. He has to make me worthy by his blood. And then he states a principle about which Jesus understood, but most people have no clue. You don't even need to come, Jesus. You just say the word. I know you have spiritual authority to those under you, and they will follow through with the healing without you even being present. He basically says, I'm an authority over men, people. You're an authority over everything but angels. I mean, really, that's what this is saying. You're in authority over those angels. Now, folks, not many things surprise Jesus. That doesn't happen very often. You don't sneak up on Jesus very often, all right? He doesn't marvel over very much. But look at verse 10, up at the top of the page up there. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. Here he is addressing the man's faith. Now, this guy believed his servant would be healed if Jesus would only allow it, and Jesus was going to allow it, so he knew it was going to happen. And he didn't tell Jesus how or when or what to do. He just said, you just don't need to come, but you can do whatever you want. I understand if you hear me talking about this, and you heard me talk about the need of faith just a few minutes ago and wrestling with it, it can sound like I'm in direct opposition to what I'm discussing right now, but I never said that Jesus didn't long for those who can hold on to him by faith. He wants us to come to him by faith. Only what I said was that we are not to demand of God to do certain things a certain way at a certain time because we think that was the biblical promise. Understand that? And it's important that we grasp this idea because the Jews believed that Jesus, well, they believed this. First of all, they believed just because they were Jews and they worked hard at keeping the law, they would get to heaven. Was that true? No, it was not true. You don't get to heaven by keeping the law. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. You don't get to heaven by keeping rules. They were wrong. They thought they understood the word. They taught the word in their synagogues. They all agreed on it. And it wasn't even true. They misunderstood that teaching. And they believed that the Messiah, when he comes, would be a kingly, ruling Messiah. They thought that was the biblical promise. And he will be one day, soon. Hallelujah. But not during his first coming. Jesus tells us basically that the Gentiles, like this centurion, will get into heaven, the kingdom of heaven, while many Jews will not. And that was a whole new eye-opening concept that many had a hard time grabbing hold of. They didn't like hearing that. The promises of God, these were promises that the Jews taught on and completely missed. And so I am saying that sometimes we have people today who teach on something and they hold on to verses that they think they understand, and sometimes they completely miss it. I know I do. All right? But the promises of God are to be believed and are to be pursued. We are supposed to do those things. But sometimes there's a very fine line between those promises and our assumption of what that promise was. And I hope all that made sense. So let me kind of wind things down here. At any rate, Jesus sends the Roman centurion on his way. And sure enough, his servant was healed the very moment of the day that Jesus said, "Go your way." Again, when Jesus tells you an event is within his will, it is going to transpire. Did you hear me? When he tells you, "Yes, it is my will," it's going to happen. So we need to find out what his will is first. Not just assume it will be the same as our will. We hope it is, but it isn't always. Can I get an amen that sometimes your will and Jesus' will aren't the same? We have to understand that sometimes. But in this story, I want us to see that Jesus has not only authority over disease, but he also has authority over spiritual realms like angels. He can command them. And by the way, that includes demons, and I'm going to teach more on that next week. He's going to command some demons to be gone, and they have to obey him. Our Lord is authority. And that's kind of the title of the message today. It was basically saying that Jesus has and is the authority. So, Saints, worship team can come up at this time. You serve an authoritative Lord. There is nothing in the heavens or on this planet that does not come under his rule. He allows Satan to do certain things and demons to do certain things, but they still must come under. They even have to ask him for permission for some of the things that they do. And for me, that is a wonderful and glorious thing to grasp, especially in the area of healing. You realize Jesus has authority over that, so you ask him if it's his will to heal you of that. I'm going to be teaching more on this next week. Boy, Lord, would you just open up our hearts to receive the truth? I don't want to cause people to be misunderstand. I don't want them to be negative. I don't want them to think, well, my prayer isn't going to be answered. God, we come to you in innocence sometimes. We come to you in lack of faith sometimes. You are mindful that we are simply flesh. Boy, I'm thankful for that. Because I miss it and I blow it sometimes. But Lord, you are faithful, and I want to see you show yourself that way to people. May we get to see healing after healing after healing and miracles in this church because you increase our faith. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Altar is open. If you need to do any kind of business with God, let's stand and close with a final song.
Thanks for listening to today's message with us. If you'd like to join us on Sunday morning, our service begins at 10:30, and we are located on 102 Egley Drive in West Unity, Ohio. For more information on Solid Rock Community Church, go to our website at solidrockcc.com.